Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right. Well, good morning. What a beautiful morning and for us today, wasn't it? Absolutely beautiful. Well, Pastor John is taking a little vacation time this weekend. That slackard will harass him later. But I am so glad that you're here to be with us today. And of course, this is Memorial Day weekend. And so this is the unofficial start of summer. So we're starting what Pastor John has referred to the last few summers about the summer of spiritual growth. And so that's actually what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about truly making it a summer of spiritual growth for us. Well, we're so glad that you're here today to be a part of the service. Again, it's a beautiful day out there. Hopefully it stays that way. Looking forward to a beautiful afternoon. And we have a lot of people that join us online every weekend. In fact, hundreds of people join us online every weekend. And so we're glad that you're here. If you joined us online, thanks so much for coming. If you're local, we'd love to see you in person someday. Let's give our online audience a round of applause real quick. How about that? I'm glad that you're participating with us. But we're going to talk today again about summer spiritual growth and kind of kick that off a little bit. And I really encourage you, obviously there's going to be people in and out. You'll be taking vacation time. I'm going to take some vacation time. Everybody will be. But to the best of your ability, staying connected and seeing yourself grow as a believer throughout this summer. And next weekend, we're going to start a series about healing. And I encourage you, there's going to be a few weeks attached to that where you're going to hear a lot about healing and stuff. And that may be something that maybe you struggle with. You struggle with that. Come on, do you really believe that that still happens today or whatever? And so you'll have an opportunity to hear a lot of scripture about that in the coming weeks ahead. And then we're going to go through the book of Philippians, which is an awesome epistle. Very short. It's only four chapters in there, but it's an awesome book. And there's a lot of things in there. We're going to go through the book of Philippians. And then we're going to go into a series that Pastor John's entitled The Blessed Life to kind of wrap things up summer-wise. And so I really encourage you to stay connected this summer. If you're in town, come to church, participate, and really make it a summer of spiritual growth. And now today, again, it's going to be pretty simple points, and pretty brief. I mean, we'll be done by 2:30, so it won't take that long. But it is pretty simple. You know what? We sometimes make spiritual things so much harder than what they really have to be because we attach some things that are not biblical to it at all. It's almost something like we have to like work this up or something, and you really don't have to. It's very simple. And so we're going to have some pretty simple points today, and it really won't be that long, and so that we can make it something that truly changes our lives throughout the summer, right? So we're going to dive right off in there. And Mark chapter 4. 22 through 24, and you'll see the scriptures behind me on the screen. Mark chapter 4, verse 22, and this is from the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase. All that is now hidden will someday come to light. If you have ears, listen, and be sure to put into practice what you hear. The more you do this, the more you will understand what I tell you. And then from a more traditional translation, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Now, Jesus used that phrase, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. He used that phrase a number of times throughout the Bible. You go to the book of Revelation, he used it a number of different times as he went through, as John had that vision, and where Jesus spoke to him, specifically revealed some things to him. So if you see, Jesus used that phrase a lot in there. And it's a lot more than just simply hearing. In fact, if you think about this phrase, and this is not real deep here, because again, we don't have time to go into this and to show you other places it's used, but in a lot of ways, what we miss sometimes, we think it's just, oh, I just need to listen. But the listening that's here, you have ears to hear, let him hear, there's a response that's implied that's attached to that. There's some type of action, some type of you taking a step, you responding to this. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. In other words, really, truly hear. Really pay attention to what I'm saying and do something with it. Respond to this. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so we're going to talk about three things today. In fact, the first one is that, actually. It is actually really listening, really paying attention, actually paying attention to what I'm being taught, paying attention to what God's speaking to my heart, really truly being a listener. What does that mean? And what are some things I can do to help myself be a better listener? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, desire God's pure word as newborn babies desire milk, then you will grow in your salvation. One of the things that's tied to listening and really truly being a listener is you have to have a desire attached to it. In other words, I come to God, I come to His Word, I come to church, I come to listen to it, whether I'm listening to something on digitally, at home, driving, whatever it may be, or whether I'm in a service like this, that I have a desire. I'm not just sitting there passive, just simply listening. I have an eagerness attached to it. I have a desire that's attached to it. Just like it said there in 1 Peter, like a child, a newborn child, eagerly wants to pursue that milk of his mother. That's how we should be when it comes to the Word of God. We should be something that we want to eagerly pursue. But a lot of times when it comes, especially in America, within our churches and stuff, we've almost turned church into a spectator sport. You know, it's like we're sitting there and we're just kind of just sitting back saying, okay, let's see what we got today. And those of you that are older, remember the Olympics, whenever they, now it's all electronic and digital today, but back in the day, they would do some type of competition, and then they would point the cameras at the judges table, and those judges would flip up cards, you know, like a 7, 8.5, whatever. Now, that's what a lot of us do in church. Now, I would love personally to have a set of those cards when Nuzzo's here. Let him re-wrapping up his message and flip up 4.5. That would be so much fun, just from the harassment factor. But unfortunately, we've actually turned a church into that. We turned it into where it's like we're just in a position where let's just see what we can hear, you know, and we kind of listen. We go on our way. Before we even leave the building, half of it's lost. You go through a few days, most of it's lost because we're not truly listening. We don't really have ears to hear. We don't really pay attention to what we're being taught. And again, that even outside of this building, when it comes to your personal relationship with God, which we'll talk more about that here in just a minute, to where I'm really paying attention to those things. I'm truly listening to the point where it's going to bring about a response in me. All right, let me give you another scripture, Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 11, it says, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if what Paul and Silas were teaching were the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek men and women. There in that scripture, it says that they listened how? Eagerly. They were eagerly listening. And then it says that they searched the scripture day after day to see if what these things that were they being taught, to see if that was true. Now they weren't turning to the book of Acts because that's in the process. They weren't turning to Philippians. They're actually examining what we would refer to as the Old Testament. They're turning to that type of scripture and those things to examine to see, are these things that they're teaching us and sharing with us about Jesus, the Messiah, salvation, etc., are these things really true? Now think about that for a second. They're turning to some of those books to see. And again, those aren't normal books that we would turn to today to examine about salvation. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit can help us see light and to help us see and understand what Jesus did for us, even in books in the Old Testament, which is what they would have been using. But they had an attitude of being eager about what they were hearing. They had something where I'm searching these things day after day to be a part of it. So I want to encourage you, if I'm going to truly have a summer spiritual growth, then I'm going to have to be eager in my listening so that as I go through it, I'm actually taking the time to write stuff down. I'm taking the time, whether when I come to church or I'm listening to things, I'm writing and recording as God speaks to things to your heart, which He will do. He'll speak to you. Right there at your chair, He'll speak to you. As you're driving your car, He'll speak to you. Cutting your grass, He'll speak to you. No matter what you may be doing, God will speak to you and will share things to you. And how many of you know it's easy to lose those? Because you can get things, and if you really don't take the time to pay attention to it, you lose them. They just float away. How many of you know if stuff leaks? And it seems like the older you get, the faster it leaks, right? And if you're not careful, it'll just leak out. Before you get out of the building, it'll leak out, all right? So I encourage you, take the time to truly listen. If something jumps out to you, take the time to write that down. And again, you can do that in so many ways today. It's really, to be honest with you, we don't really have an excuse. It's very easy, from our phones to whatever. It's very easy to take notes, to write something down, to jot that down today. All right, so that's the first thing. I'm going to actually truly listen. The second thing that's attached to truly listening is it's also a reflection of the condition of my heart. If I really have a listening heart, I'm truly listening. It's a reflection of the condition of my heart, and I need to guard my heart. Pastor John just got through the series recently here from Mark chapter 4 about the condition of our heart, the soil of our heart. And if you weren't here for that, again, you can go back and listen to those messages online. But let me give you a couple of scriptures. We're actually one scripture from two different translations. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And then from the NIV, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. This is so important that if I'm going to truly have a listening attitude, that not only do I have to have an eagerness, a desire, I want to hear. I actually want to hear. But then I also need to make sure that I'm taking the time and I'm guarding my heart consistently. Because the Bible just got through telling you, everything I do flows out of it. It determines the course of my life. So I need to pay attention. I need to guard my heart. So very simply put, we're not going to go into these in great detail, and I just put a few things down. So when it comes to guarding my heart, you'll see them on the screen here, but I need to pay attention to the things that I see, the things that I hear, the things that I think, and the things that I say. Again, very simply put, we're not going to go into these in great detail, but paying attention to what I'm hearing. What am I listening to? What am I allowing before my eyes? What am I consistently feeding on? And I'm not talking about a one-time thing. I'm talking about what's consistently taking place in my life. Because you can't help but to get exposed to the world around you. True? I can't, unless you're going to, you know, go lock yourself in a cave. You can't help but get exposed to things. But the key here is as that exposure takes place, what am I allowing myself to dwell on? What am I allowing my thought life to dwell on? What am I allowing my eyes to dwell on? What am I allowing those things? What am I allowing myself to hear on a consistent basis, to see? What thoughts am I allowing to stick? You can't help the thoughts from coming a lot of times, but I can keep them from staying. The Bible tells me I can. I can choose not to think on things that are contrary to the Word of God, or I can choose to do exactly the opposite. Pastor John actually touched on that last week, right? I can choose to agree with the enemy of my soul. And many of us do that quite regularly. I actually choose to agree with what he says rather than what the Word of God says. And what we need to do is I need to guard my heart. Don't pay attention to those voices. Don't pay attention to those things. Again, you can't always keep them from coming, but I can keep them from remaining. Again, simple illustration is don't picture a big, very large pink elephant with huge floppy ears like Dumbo and there's spots on his rear end. You can't help yourself because you hear it and a picture starts to form. True? But I can keep myself from dwelling on that stupid elephant. Isn't that right? I can keep that image from lodging in my heart and lodging in my head so that it doesn't stick. It doesn't stay there. So I encourage you, when it comes to guarding your heart, I'm going to pay attention again to the things that I hear. I'm going to pay attention to the things that I see, the things that I'm thinking about, my thought life. Look, you may have set off all kinds of bombs in your life. You may have messed, and they're all your fault, every single one of them. But if you're going to change that history of your life, the only way to do that is I've got to change what my focus is. I've got to change what I'm looking at. I've got to begin to believe and to focus on what God says about me rather than about what my past says about me. Because your past is going to say all kinds of things to you. But I want to focus on what the Word of God says to me, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. We talk about meditating the Word of God. But it's very important. If I'm going to truly be a listener, if I'm truly going to have a summer of spiritual growth, I'm going to eagerly listen. I mean, I'm really eagerly listening. I'm taking the time, if something of this by the Spirit of God is brought to my mind, if something stands out to me, some verse. And man, the good thing about God is, you know what? It doesn't rest with me whatsoever. It doesn't rest with John Nuzzo being up here and being the most eloquent speaker, which that's a good thing, right? Come on, you got to let me harass him when I can, all right? It doesn't rest with us. Look, I may go brain dead in the middle of my message. And you know that God can still speak to you right there at your chair. God can show you things. And sometimes it can be completely unrelated to what came out of my mouth or someone else's mouth. It can be a phrase, a sentence, part of a verse that stands out to you. You go, wow, that. And as you hear those things, take the time to steward it. Write it down. Pay attention to it. You don't have to be a spiritual giant to do that. That's not hard. Take the time to write it down and then think about it, which leads us to the next thing. So I'm going to be an eager listener. I'm going to actually listen. The second thing is I'm going to take the time to meditate or to think about or to contemplate about the things that God shows me. So the first one is I'm going to really truly be a listener. The second thing is I'm going to meditate about those things. I'm going to truly meditate about them. Let me give you a verse here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Meditate on it. And this is God speaking to Joshua. Joshua had just taken over from Moses. And so, which obviously that would have been pretty intimidating, right? Joshua taking over from Moses. Moses had his own movie, okay? Ten Commandments. And here comes Joshua. So Joshua's taking over from Moses. It would have been a pretty intimidating thing, all right? And so here Joshua, so God says all kinds of, a number of different things to Joshua at the beginning of Joshua. But he tells us, look, you meditate on these things. If you do these things, you meditate on it day and night. Keep it as a focus of yours. So I encourage you to do the same. And again, this is sometimes where a religious mindset or something can, or some type of an unbiblical mindset can get us in trouble because we think this is something that's got to be like, it's got to feel spiritual. I'm telling you, it's the most spiritual thing in the world you can do is if you'll turn over or mull over or think about a scripture while you cut your grass, while you drive your car. That's just as spiritual as anything else. Okay, again, we mess ourselves up sometimes when we translate that, well, it's got to be in church. Or it's got to be here. It doesn't count or whatever. And that's completely false. So meditating the Word of God is me taking the time to actually think about it. So I'm going to listen. And then when God shows me something or reveals something to me or a verse jumps out at me or a phrase jumps out at me, I take the time to jot those things down and mull that over, contemplate it, think about it. Very simply put, and there's more to it than this, but simply put, meditate. It's just I'm thinking about it. I'm not trying to memorize it. That's a misconception about meditating the Word of God as well. When I meditate the Word, to be honest with you, I'm not trying to memorize it at all. In fact, a lot of the times, things I meditate on very consistently, now I'm sure if I chose to, I could shift it a little bit, but I can't always quote them. Now, I can paraphrase them because I see them a lot, but I can't always quote them word for word. So meditation is not memorizing the Bible. It's me thinking about it and allowing God to speak to me personally about what that means to me. Does that make sense? It's not trying to memorize it. Whoop-de-doo that you can quote it. Look, I've been witnessing to plenty of people long time ago, to go back a long time ago, witnessing and stuff. And this is when I was a teen challenge and stuff. We'd go witnessing all over the place from the streets of New York to all over the place. And so we're witnessing and I like to pair up with this guy. We called him Pastor Ted. His name was Ted Williams, like the ball player, Ted Williams. And so we called him Pastor Ted and we'd go witnessing together and stuff. But for whatever reason, Ted always liked to go in bars. Okay, so this is most of the time this was during the day. In New York, sometimes it would be in the evening, late night, overnight type stuff. But in this particular case, this is during the day. This is in Reading, Pennsylvania. And of course, Ted wants to go in this bar, we go in this bar. Now I know from history, this is going to be short-lived, because how many of you know, if you're really trying to be a witness in a bar, how long will you be in that bar? That's why sometimes people say things like, oh, I go there to be a light. Oh, really? How long were you there? 12 hours. Really? You weren't much of a light, were you? Okay, because I knew what was going to happen. Sooner or later, Ted's going to get us chunked out of this bar, all right? But you go in there and start talking to people. Believe it or not, I begin to witness or share the gospel, just kick up a conversation with somebody sitting there or standing there, and this person that I'm talking to with the alcohol in his hand, all this other kind of stuff going on around, I would begin to share just part of a verse, he would finish it. And tell me where it was. That happened more times than I could tell you. So just because I can quote a verse doesn't mean it impacts my life at all. I can just memorize it. I can just say it. So meditation is not memorizing it. It's thinking about it, contemplating, and allowing the Spirit of God to be the teacher to me. That's awesome about God if you think about it. The Spirit of God is the teacher. He's going to teach you. Sure, He uses people sometimes to do that, but what you need to understand is He wants to teach you every single day in a very real, plain way to you personally. And one of the primary ways He's going to do that is He's going to reveal things to you as you mull over, you contemplate, you think about, you just turn those scriptures over. And again, not trying to memorize it, but I turn those things over. It's very easy to do, especially today. There's all kinds of tools and things that you can do. And I've shared this before, but I'll very quickly take the time to do this. I didn't bring my tablet in here today, but on Evernote on my phone and stuff. So this is, and I know you can't read this, sorry, but this is Sunday. So here on Sunday, in fact, Jesse actually quoted a couple of scriptures that I actually have in there for today, okay? One, Psalm 92, 12 through 15 is the first one. Psalm 19, 14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be accepted in your sight, O Lord my God, my rock and my redeemer. And so I'll just go through these scriptures and just go through and mull some of those. Sometimes I'll stay focused on one. I've got Psalm 103, which Jesse referred to part of Psalm 103, 1 through 5 today. So these things are in there. You can just simply take the time. However you choose to do it. Have you ever heard of YouVersion? Y-O-U. You ever heard of that? YouVersion? YouVersion is completely free. And I actually have that on my phone today through as well. But YouVersion actually was designed and came out of Life Church out of Oklahoma City. It's the most widespread Bible app in the world, and it's completely free. All right? And so this is it right here. And they can send you, there's devotional things attached to it, all kinds of versions. They're completely free in this. They send you a verse a day, every day. They'll send you, you can tell at what time you want that verse to show up on your phone. They'll give you a verse a day. It just shows up in your app here. They'll even email it to you if you want them to. But this is the verse for today, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's Jeremiah 1:5 from the English Standard Version. So that's the verse of the day. Now that's an awesome verse. Give you a little bit of a context here. What Jeremiah is going through is Jeremiah got called to be a prophet at a horrible time in Israel's history. Israel is completely backslidden away from God. Their idol worship, all kinds of crazy stuff taking place. And Jeremiah, he's referred to as the weeping prophet. You know why? He also is the one that's accredited for writing the book of Lamentations. Why? Because there's a lot of tears attached to his ministry. Why? Because Israel is messed up. And he's called, imagine this, he's called to be a voice from God, a prophet to the country at that time. And he's afraid to do it. He's upset about doing it. He's like, I can't do this. How can I do this? And God tells him right there in verse 5, look, I know you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I called you to be a voice. You know what? That verse is just as real for you today. So meditate the Word of God. All you've got to do is just simply take that scripture. And I promise you, you meditate on how God knew you before you ever even formed in your mother's womb. God knew you. The Word of God tells us that God is no respecter of persons. You know what that means? That means there's nothing special per se as far as, you know, you think of people like Billy Graham or some other great evangelist or great minister or whatever, and you think, oh, God loves them more. Nope, God loves them just the same as you. No partiality, no difference. So if God is saying to Jeremiah, look, I know you. I knew you before ever. I have a plan for you. Before you were ever even born, I have a plan for you. You know what? That's exactly true for you. Your parents may not have known you were coming and God had a plan for you. Amen. Do you understand that? Now, I promise you, you meditate on that one scripture. In the coming week, your perception about God and yourself will be different. That's just one verse. So it's not hard to do that. It's not super spiritual. These super spiritual people that go around quoting the Bible. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you and your real life taking the time to just simply think about a scripture. However it is the easiest for you to do that, whether it's you writing them on cards or sticky notes or whatever, whatever's easy for you to do that. Because if I'm going to be a hearer, I'm going to truly have a summer of spiritual growth, I've got to take the time to mull those things over as God speaks to me. Then the last thing, the third thing is, and we touched on this earlier, is that when it comes to being a listener and meditating on the Word of God, the next thing is I have to actually respond to it. I've got to actually take a step. I've got to actually act on, which in general terms, you could use the word faith here. I'm not talking about faith in general terms from the standpoint of just, I have faith in God. I'm talking about faith is an active thing. Faith is an active word. It is not passive. So when it comes to you being a believer and it comes to you walking in faith, it is an active thing. That means there's action to it. All right, I'm taking steps. Let me give you a scripture, Hebrews 4:2. Give it to you from a couple of translations. It says, we have heard the message just as they did, but they failed to believe what they heard, and the message did not do them any good. From the Good News translation, for we have heard the good news just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good because they heard it. They did not accept it with faith. In other words, they didn't accept it with faith and do anything with it. They didn't take any steps with it. So again, simply put, as the Spirit of God shows you things, as the Spirit of God shows you and points a verse out to you, again, even if you just simply use the one from Jeremiah about how God loves you and knows you, has a plan and a purpose for your life, okay? How God called you, placed you into the body of Christ. Again, there's so many scriptures that you could use attached to that, just simply that perception about who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why it's so great. You need to be here for the book of Philippians because there's so many scriptures in there about who you are in Christ Jesus, as there are in all of those, especially you go through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, so many scriptures, all very short books, very easy to read, okay? Very easy, but they're full of scriptures about who we are in Christ Jesus and what God's done for us. So I encourage you, okay, when it comes to taking those things, to take the time to do that and to respond to it. So when it tells you to walk in love, you actually walk in love. When it tells you to forgive, you actually forgive. When it tells you to do anything else, whatever it may be, you actually take the time to add faith to it. Because remember, if I don't add faith or if I don't add action to it, the Bible told you there in Hebrews, it does you no good. It's just like hearing. It's like, again, Pastor John went through Mark chapter 4. It's like being that soil that hears it, but it doesn't bear any fruit whatsoever. Why? Because there's no corresponding action attached to it. So I encourage you, if you're really going to have a summer of spiritual growth, you're going to have to respond. Do it, okay? And again, that's not a religious obligation. That's about allowing God to be active and alive in my life. You know what? What happens in our lives sometimes is we go through life and we just kind of go through the motions and we're doing it. And how many of you know time can go pretty quick, right? I mean, you can just, another year's gone by, whatever. Hey, you've only got 6 months till Christmas, all right? So just to cheer you up a little bit today. All right? Think about that. That's crazy if you think how quick. Just what? So that's a good little shock effect to you. I just ruined half of your day right there, all right? So that's a pretty good thing. But you think about how time goes by so fast. And if we're not careful, we'll just let things go by. And you can look up and a month or two's gone and nothing's changed. And you go, Well, I intended to. You know, a simple little phrase is we judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge others by what they actually do. So I judge other people. I judge you by what I see, by what I hear. I judge by what you do, the actions I see. I judge myself by my intentions. You know what that means? Well, I intended to. Yeah, but you didn't. Well, but I had the intention of doing it, so it counts. It doesn't count, does it? Just tell that to your spouse. Right? Okay, so it's important that we add action to it. So I'm going to be a listener. I'm going to literally listen. I'm going to pay attention to what's going on. I'm going to pay attention. When I come to church or I'm listening to things on my own or I'm taking the time to meditate on the Word of God on my own, I'm getting into God's Word all on my own. Again, whether it's a physical Bible, I'm using YouVersion or whatever it may be, I'm going to pay attention to this. And as I get in it, I'm going to take the time to underline stuff. I'm going to take the time to write things down and to do it. You know, you can write in this thing, okay? Lightning will not fall because you may. I remember what that was like when I first started that, you know? Like, oh, gosh, can I write? This is holy. You know what? It is holy. But God's actually, a holy God is actually okay with you writing in His holy word. You can actually write things in here and say, don't forget this because you really, right? And then as you go back through it, you can see notes that you yourself have made. You know what? I have a number of Bibles that my parents used and stuff. And you know what? I love being, you can flip through there and you can see notes that in their handwriting, that's pretty, I like that. that I can see that they made notes about things. You can actually write in the thing. You can actually take the time to do that. And I encourage you to take the step to do that. If you're really going to have a summer of spiritual growth, where you're going to grow, you're going to be some person different, you're going to change over it, I'm going to be an active listener. I'm eagerly listening. I'm going to take the time to meditate on it. I'm going to mull that over, whatever it may be, a verse, a scripture of scripture, something, a point, or something that comes up. And again, you can be sitting right here and all of a sudden just something come into your thinking where it's like, oh man. And I'm going to pay attention to those things. I write those things down. I mull them over and allow God to teach me. And then I'm going to respond to it. I'm going to actually take the step to respond to it. If you'll do that, you can change. You can grow. You can mature as a child of God. Each and every week, you can see something different. God will speak to you. God wants to speak to you all the time. Do you believe that? You know, one of the crazy things is this, God actually likes you. He likes you. And I've used this illustration before, and I'll wrap up with this, is that, you know, we use the word love a lot, and in our, especially within the English language and stuff, we use that word a lot of different things, okay, love this, love that, la da 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 da, and stuff. But if you go back to when you were younger and stuff, that word like had some meaning to it. Does she like me? And now this would be electronic today, but back in my day, this would have been notes that you wrote. And you pass that note, do you like me? Check yes or no. Right? Okay. We all can relate to that in some way or another. God actually likes you. He actually likes you, wants to spend time with you, wants to fellowship and commune with you. And it really is that simple. If you'll just simply take time, and He'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. People will say sometimes, oh man, I never really hear the voice. God doesn't really speak to me. What happens is what you're saying basically is I'm really not taking the time to get into God's word, because you can't be in God's word and meditate and think about God's word and God not speak to you. So if you'll just simply take a simple step, just simply get in this thing and just simply start reading it, pay attention to it, go somewhere, get a translation that you can read, get something that's easy. An NIV, New Living Translation, New King James, whatever, just something that's easy, okay, that you can understand. You can go back there to the bookstore or any bookstore and you can get different, and just read them. You can see a lot of them online. Try them out. Again, you can get YouVersion. There's multiple translations attached to that. They're all free, completely free. You don't have to buy anything. The whole thing is completely free. You can take notes in that app. You can do all kinds of stuff in that. Okay, it's all completely free. But get it in a translation that you can read and that makes sense to you, and allow God to speak to you. If you'll do that, you'll respond to it, you can be a different person. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for speaking to each one of us today by your Spirit. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for each person in this room today. I pray, Father, that we'll be listeners, we'll be hearers. We truly will be those that have ears to hear and ears to listen, that will respond, that will take the time to meditate upon your word. We'll take the time to think about it. So not only will we be listeners, we'll be hearers, and we'll respond, we'll act. We'll be people of faith. There'll be action to what we hear, Father. We thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing that for each one of us today. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. If you're here today, this morning, I'm not going to drag this out. We're not going to go long with this, but if you're here today, and you don't know where you stand in your relationship with God. You don't know. If you'd say, you know what, Pastor Steve, I'm not really sure where I stand in my relationship with God. Or you may know for a fact, I have never taken a step. Never. I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, to be my Lord. I've never opened up my heart to Him at all. You may know that exactly today. Or you may be unsure. If you're unsure, I encourage you, don't leave today without knowing, truly knowing where you stand in your relationship with God. It's a very simple process. It's an easy process. I'm going to pray for you right where you're seated. Not going to single you out except just simply in just a moment asking you to raise your hand. But we're going to pray the prayer all together. All of us will pray that prayer out loud together with you right there at your chair. And I encourage you, if that's you today and you're unsure about where you stand in your relationship with God, I encourage you today, please don't leave without doing that. If that's you today, very quickly, I'd ask you to raise your hand. Raise it up high enough so I can see it. Raise it and put it back down. Thank you so much. I see your hand. Anybody else? Again, you have to raise it up pretty high, especially if you're in the risers. Please raise it up because it's kind of hard to see up there. Anybody else want to join these that have raised their hand? If you're here to say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I'm unsure. I really don't know where I stand in my relationship with God. I'm really unsure. Please raise your hand right now. Thank you so much. I see you right there. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these that raised their hand? And we'll pray right where you're seated. All right, let's pray this prayer out loud together with those that raised their hand. And Jesus is going to come into your heart. And you'll be a child of God. Let's pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, for dying for me, being raised from the dead for me. Lord Jesus, I open up my heart to you. I ask you now to come into my heart, change me. I thank you for forgiving me of all my sin. And I thank you that I am now a child of God. I thank you that I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much for praying with me.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.